see to try to find a song that has Mediator in it. It's very, very difficult. So anybody who can write hymns and songs, feel free to do one. Just before I get into the word, I just want not to embarrass Margaret at the back there. She's here with her mother, and you're very, very welcome. And we're not going to embarrass you every time you come to Shiloh. But, you know, as we were praying for the nursing homes, without people like Margaret and Joanne and Alison at Newcroft and the staff in these homes, we wouldn't be going in there. You know, so we do thank God for the work that you're doing, and we appreciate that you do so much to allow us to get in there as well. So thank you again. Okay, I'm going to pray and then we'll get into God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, we do ask you, Almighty God, to help us to hear what you're saying to us through your word. We thank you for Jesus, who is our great high priest, who, having offered himself perfectly as the perfect sacrifice for sin, has passed through the heavens and sat down at your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to hear this morning what God is saying to us through the word about Jesus and his role as a priest forever. Help us, please, to listen to the voice of Jesus this morning. We ask this, please, in his name. Amen. As you know, we're currently looking at Jesus and his eternal role as prophet, priest, and king. And you want to take that down slightly, Mark? And the writer to the Hebrews calls Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. And Jesus, the prophet of God, he was sent from heaven. That's what apostle means, one who is sent. He was sent from heaven as both a messenger, that's the prophet, he would proclaim the word of the Lord, but he was also sent as a minister of God who would become one with mankind to proclaim God's word. And by making himself an offering for sin, Jesus opened the way for those who hear, believe, and obey him to be born again into a living relationship with God the Father. And as our great high priest, Jesus the man, because people, you need to always remember, Jesus isn't some figment of our imagination sitting in heaven, or he's not some big giant spirit ghost thing. Jesus is a man who is in heaven, seated at the Father's right hand. And as the man, he entered, as I said, the most holy place, sat down at God's right hand, and ever lives to make intercession for us. His ministry as the prophet of God is to proclaim God's word and make known his plans. His ministry as the great high priest was offering himself as the sacrifice for sin that brings reconciliation, and also by his life interceding for us. Doesn't mean that Jesus sitting there saying nice wee prayers like Rocky Horror Show here on a Sunday morning. You know, so did you ever notice that Rocky prayed the exact same three prayers in the three different things? Jesus isn't sitting going all these nice wee prayers. He prays, he intercedes at times, but by his very life he intercedes. The very fact that he is seated at God's right hand is the intercession in itself. It's a powerful thing. It also means that shows he is a priest forever, as the Bible says. He is a priest forever because while he lives, he is a priest. And as a priest, he is continually interceding. That was one of the roles. You'll see mediation, sacrifice, reconciliation, and intercession. The role of Jesus as our great high priest involves all of these. Jesus mediates between God and us so that we are accepted into God's presence. As someone said, as the prophet of God, I think this is brilliant, as the prophet of God, Jesus brings the word of God to man. But as the great high priest, Jesus brings the sacrifice for man to God. So Christian, in light of that, what more is required to give you boldness and confidence to draw near to God? To know that your sins are forgiven. If you are a Christian, if you know Jesus and you love Jesus, Jesus is trying to get you to confidently believe that all of your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven and you have been reconciled to God. You cannot be unreconciled to God. It's not something that's going to happen further down the road. You have all of your sins been forgiven and you have been reconciled to God. Well, this morning I want to look a little closer at the ministry of Jesus, our great high priest, to help us to understand more about what his priestly ministry means for us. And I was saying last week, do you remember that Jesus was bidding us to come? Once he sat down at the Father's right hand, one of the first things that Jesus did was he bid people who would believe in him to come into the presence of God. Everybody was terrified. The Jewish people would never in a million years have entered into the Holy of Holies. Even the high priest could only enter one day a year, and if he didn't get it right, he died. So the people were terrified to go into God's presence. And so when Jesus, our great high priest, passed through the heavens, sat down at God's right hand, he then said to those who believe in, come on in, come on in, come on in. And some of us are a wee bit timid about going in there because we think, oh, he'll only see my sin. But your sin is dealt with. It has been washed and cleansed before you can get anywhere near the Holy of Holies. I've been quoting from the Westminster Shorter Catechism about Jesus' role as the prophet and priest. And this is what I want to use as my basis for this morning's message. Christ executes the office of a priest in his offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. Do you hear what that says? To satisfy divine justice. See, whenever you sin and you know, oh, I've let God down, and you're terrified, oh, that the judgment of God, or God's going to punish me. What you're saying is the death of Jesus wasn't enough. Whereas the Bible is clear that the death of Jesus fully satisfied divine justice. Christ executes the office of a priest in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. The role of an Old Testament high priest was to mediate on behalf of others. That means to stand in the gap between men and God. He would then present an offering, a sacrifice, first for his own sin and then for the sin of the people. And by this offering, the sins of the people were covered over and they were reconciled to God. The high priest then continued to intercede. He wasn't just a high priest one day a year. He was a high priest 365 days a year. But he could only go into the Holy of Holies one day a year. So he continued to intercede as the high priest for the rest of that year. All of the Jewish Old Testament priests and high priests were only shadows and types of one greater to come. And as I said, Jesus, the great high priest, was appointed by God to his priestly ministry, and his priestly role involved mediation, sacrifice, reconciliation, and intercession. And it's these functions that I want to look at over the next 2 or 3 weeks. So this morning, it's mediation. And just to remind you, in Genesis chapter 3, before Eve and Adam were deceived by Satan, before they had sinned against God, you can read that they enjoyed fellowship with God. That means they had communion with God. They talked to God. They knew God. In fact, it tells us that they walked together with him in the garden. Imagine that, fellowship with God. They walked together in the Garden of Eden with God. Well, then, having eaten the forbidden fruit, they suddenly realized that they were naked and they covered themselves with leaves. And when they heard the sound of God in the garden, they hid from him. Now you read this yourself in Genesis 3, you will see this is here. When they heard the sound of God in the garden, they hid from him. Well, what was the sound? What was the sound that they heard of God in the garden? I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're dandering down the road and you see people working in their garden, what are they doing? They're humming away to themselves as they're moving their plants from here to there and singing to themselves. You know, they're enjoying their wee bit of garden. And I'm convinced, because the word sound, that when they heard, when Adam and Eve heard the sound of God, the word sound can be translated voice. I personally think God was walking through the garden humming away or singing as he went through the garden, as he was new. He was coming to meet Adam and Eve for a bit of crack, and he was humming away as he walked through the garden. And of course, Adam and Eve, because they had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they hid themselves from God's presence. And you know something? Sin still separates people from God. Adam and Eve knew that they had sinned. They covered their nakedness and they hid in the trees. They hid themselves from God. And sin still separates people from God today. People know, they know in their hearts, they know in their minds, they know in their consciences that they have sinned against God, and it causes them to fear God. And so they hide from him, and they will bring so many things into their lives to try to protect themselves from ever having to face God, even though there is a day coming when we all have to give account. People still, because of sin, separate themselves from God, and they fear him and hide from him. However, because of sin, no one can presume to approach God, because God cannot tolerate sin. Turn please to Exodus chapter 19. If you haven't got a Bible, I promise you what I'm about to read is in it. Genesis chapter 19, and I'm reading from verse 10, and I'm going to go through a few verses here. Exodus 19, I'm reading from verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death.'" So God was going to come down to these people, and he said, "I'm coming down to this mountain. Stay well clear of this mountain. Even though you're consecrated, even though you've been told to purify yourselves and to wash your clothes, stay well clear, because anybody who touches this mountain dies." Down to verse 17. "And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses to the top. The Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." So the people are all standing near the mountain, but not touching the mountain. And there's all of this thunder and lightning and smoke and all of this here. God likes a grand entrance. And then he comes to the mountain and he calls Moses up. Turn over to chapter 20 and verse 18. "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and lightning, the flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off." Hear that? They trembled and stood afar off. "Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" Let not God speak with us, lest we die. "And Moses said to the people, 'Don't be afraid, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.' So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was." You know, I don't know if you know the story about Moses, whenever God called him from the burning bush. And, you know, he saw this bush, and it was on fire, but for some reason it wasn't being consumed. And when he spoke, he sort of went back a bit, you know, terrified. Well, wouldn't you be, like, if you're walking through Castle Park or your local forest and you saw a bush in flames, he's like, "Oh, somebody's lit a fire," until a big voice comes out of it, you know. You'd be away like a shot. And so here, these people were terrified. These people stood afar off. Roughly 2,500 years after the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were hiding among the trees for fear of God. Roughly 2,500 years after, when at Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Lord, we see how people still reacted to the presence of God. They trembled and stood afar off. They didn't even want to hear God's voice. Let not God speak to us, lest we die. And you know, unbelievers still keep their distance from God today. They still hide from him for two reasons. God's holiness exposes their sinfulness. Unbelievers don't want to approach God because God's holiness exposes their sinfulness. And the second reason is God's holy presence terrifies people. God's holy presence makes people afraid and think, "Ooh, why do you think a whole lot of people don't come into church?" It's not because it's full of us. It's because they don't know what to expect. People are afraid of meeting with the living God. Even those whom God chose, hear this, even those whom God chose to approach and communicate with, even the people that he said, "I'm going to go down and speak to Moses, I'm going to go down and speak to David, I'm going to go down and speak to Jacob, I'm going to go and speak to all of these people." Even those whom God chose to approach and communicate were in awe of him. Some of them feared for their lives. Isaiah, for example, said, "Oh, woe is me, oivest mer, I am falling apart, I am coming apart at the seams." He thought he was falling apart in the presence of Almighty God. Other people trembled and wanted to keep their distance. Others wanted to run away. Some, like John, when he got the revelation in the book of Revelation, it says that he fell down as though he were dead. This is what the presence of God can do. And we need to understand, God can approach us in ways that may cause us to tremble and fall down, while at the same time, he can draw near to us in love and in compassion. So, in light of that, how could sinners commune with God without being consumed by his holiness? Well, the answer is God would provide a mediator, one who could and would approach God on his terms and stand in the gap between him and sinful people. For years, it was the God-appointed, God-anointed Old Testament priests and high priests whose ministry foreshadowed the great high priest to come. They were all appointed mediators between God and men, who in accordance with God's will and ways fulfilled the legal obligation. If they did not fulfill the legal obligations, they could have been killed. They fulfilled the legal obligations, they offered the sacrifices, and they kept the ceremonial laws which allowed them to approach God on behalf of others. But their ministry was only temporary and would see its consummation in the great high priest who was to come. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, God declares Jesus, the great high priest, is a priest forever. His priestly ministry is eternal. Now, what that means is there is no need for any others. Now, please get this into your head. There is no need for someone else to go to God on your behalf. It is not necessary. Jesus is a priest forever, and his eternal role means that he intercedes on your behalf. He is the mediator. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, there is one God, we sang it, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now here's the point that I want you to get this morning. Through Jesus, God has provided a mediator who can mediate, who can stand in the gap between God and men. So we see from our image here, for example, in this picture, that here is where men are, here is where God is, and the cross in that sample, sample there shows that that means man can come to God through the cross. But that's not what mediation is about. Let me make this clear. Through Jesus, God provided a mediator who can mediate, who can stand in the gap between men and God. When you get home read Job chapter 9 and verse 33, because it suggests that the mediator, listen to this, the mediator takes the hands of both parties to bring about reconciliation. Do you hear that? The mediator takes the hands of both parties to bring about reconciliation. And unlike sinners, Jesus, God's appointed mediator, does not need to fear God the way sinners do, because Jesus was without sin. He does not need to tremble at the voice of God, because Jesus is God. He is God in the flesh, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And as our great high priest, having offered himself as a sacrifice for sin, he has removed completely, please get this into your head, having offered himself as the sacrifice for sin, he has removed the wrath of God from those who believe in him. Do you understand what's being said? Do you understand what Jesus has done? By offering himself, by dying on the cross for your sin because you believe in him, he has completely, for all eternity, removed the wrath of God from you. That's why the Apostle Paul rejoices when he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It's absolutely beautiful. Jesus not only mediates, but Jesus now bids those who believe in him, those who have faith in him, he says, come on, draw near to God. Draw, and you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to tremble. You don't need to stand afar off. God loves you with an everlasting love, and I want you to come into his presence and experience it, because I have paid the price. I have paid your debt in full. Now, sinners such as us, because we're always sinners, but we're sinners saved by grace. Now, sinners such as us can humbly, can reverently approach God without fear of retribution as we come to him through Jesus the mediator. We don't need priests. We don't need the Virgin Mary. We don't need saints. We don't need angels or anything else to enable us to approach God or to approach God on our behalf. We can come with confidence to him through faith in Jesus, the mediator. And here's the point. Last week I was saying to you that Jesus sat down at God's right hand and says to you, come on, come on, come on, draw near. There's grace, there's grace, there's grace. Well, where do you hear what he's doing now as the mediator? As the mediator, Jesus takes our hand and the hand of the Father, and he unites us in him. Do you hear that? Jesus takes our hand and the hand of the Father and unites us in him. Now that will become clear in a moment. The old covenant meant people were terrified to approach God. They trembled and they stood afar off. They didn't want to hear God speak lest they die. They hid from him. Now, because Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, a new agreement allowing people to approach God, sinners such as me, sinners such as you, can come to the throne of God's grace through faith in Jesus. You can come and know that your sins are forgiven. You can come and know that you don't need to fear death because you have everlasting life. In fact, there is no other way. Hear that this morning. There is no other way to draw near to God except through Jesus, his Son, our great high priest and mediator. Within his eternal role as prophet, priest, and king, we now see Jesus not just as a messenger, not just as a minister, but as a mediator. Now, this is the point, Christian. I want you to imagine this morning, because this is real. Spiritually, this is real. Can you imagine this morning that no sooner than Jesus sitting down at his Father's right hand, that he moved his hand across to the Father and took the Father by his left hand and immediately reached out with his right hand to you. Because that's what Jesus has done. Jesus sat down at the Father's right hand, and as the mediator took the hold of the Father's left hand, and with his right hand reaches out to you this morning. And he says, put your hand into my hand and come in. Come in to our presence. You have been united with the Father through Jesus. Come in and receive the manifold blessings that are yours this morning for believing in Jesus. And you know what? It's perfectly biblical. It's exactly as the psalmist says. In Psalm 73 and verse 23, he says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. Why? You hold me by my right hand. You hold me by my right hand. Have you taken the hand of Jesus this morning? Have you allowed Jesus to bring you in to the Father's presence without fear or trembling? No need to stand afar off. No need to hide yourself from God. Just take the hand of Jesus, and it's Jesus who brings you in. It is Jesus who unites us. Jesus, our great high priest, mediates, stands in the gap, takes a hold of our hand, and unites us with our Father in heaven. Christian, what a beautiful thought to ponder on in whatever circumstances you might face in the coming week. Jesus takes the Father's right hand and then reaches out with his Father's left hand and reaches out with his hand and says to you, in every circumstance, put your hand into mine and I'll bring you into the throne room of Almighty God, where there is grace to meet every need. Maybe this morning there's someone here or someone watching on Facebook, someone listening to the podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, the Word of God says that unless you confess your sin, that means agree with God, unless you agree with what God says that you are a sinner, unless you're prepared to repent and turn around and turn away from living your life your way, and unless you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't do that, you have no mediator to mediate on your behalf. You have no one to stand in the gap between you and God. Unless you trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save you, then you have every reason to be terrified of God and to hide from him. But the good news is God loves you. And God has provided a mediator for you. And he says, trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save you, to intercede on your behalf. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, when we see the picture of this, it just blows us away. Last week, Lord, we saw Jesus bidding us to come into the throne room of Almighty God, where we would find grace and mercy to help in time of need. This morning, as the mediator, we see, Lord, that what he has done is he has taken you by the left hand and he reaches out with his right hand to us and says, put your hand in mine and let me bring you in. And I, Father, thank you that for those in this place today who have done that, who have put their hand into the hand of Jesus, that we know what it is to have our sins forgiven, that we know what it is to have everlasting life, that we know what it is to be in fellowship with you. And we thank you, Father. And we ask that we would always, always be drawn into the throne room of Almighty God. In every circumstance that we face, that we would take the hand of Jesus and let us be led by him into your throne room to find grace and mercy to help us in every circumstance in life. And Lord, I pray for anyone who yet doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that you would help them today to see that your hand is outstretched to receive them. All they've got to do is believe and place their hand into your hand and trust, Lord, that you will bring them safely into God's presence where their sins are forgiven and where they too have everlasting life. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.